back on In Focus with Dr. Tim Schaefer, Associate Professor in the Department of Communication Studies at K-State. He's also the Assistant Director for Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. And Dr. Schaefer, I understand you're working on a research project for a project funded by the Sunflower Foundation. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, so actually related to some of the work with the legislature has been this desire to say, how do we kind of build and foster a broader kind of embrace and kind of coalition of those committed to civil discourse, and so across Kansas. And so Sunflower has seen this as intersecting with some of their commitment to the idea of healthy communities, and frankly, how do we address some of our shared problems and challenges when we don't have the ability to interact with one another? So that's partly what led to this project, which is just on the front end of starting, and we've been calling it the Kansas Civic Life Project. And there are really kind of two parts to it, right? It's the first kind of attempting to understand and assess the ways in which individuals, organizations, and communities across the state are using kind of public engagement processes that are rooted in dialogue and deliberation. And then second is really this idea of building local infrastructure in Kansas to better understand the use of civil discourse. So we are right on the cusp of working on this. We have a graduate student and some other collaborators where we're going to do some mapping. And so we're going to be kind of reaching out and engaging people across the state who we know are doing some of this work, and then moving out from there just to try to get a better feel for what are the different ways that, like I said, individuals, organizations, and communities have been using dialogue, deliberation, this kind of civil discourse approach in their addressing of a whole host of issues. And one of the benefits to this is to first know how many people are kind of out there doing this type of work. But also related to that is that for those, K-State is in northeastern Kansas. We have extension across the state, and they have been a great partner in some of this work, and increasingly more so. And the hope is to build some capacity at the local level for this type of response to public issues, but for people to be able to see who else is around them. And so if they're working on, say, a planning process and using a certain kind of approach or a model, I don't want to get too deeply into the weeds here, but if there's somebody who's looking for others doing something similar to what they're trying to attempt, this map, which will be publicly available through our Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy website, will be kind of a resource for people to find potential colleagues and collaborators. And so there's a very public-facing element of this, and so it's a research project, but it really is designed as this kind of engaged community-based research project that is serving a public purpose, hopefully for a long time. It's being designed to be kind of low-cost, frankly, kind of open source, open access material, so there shouldn't be any limitations to people gaining access to it for the foreseeable future, and for us to be able to kind of be able to put the information into it, it will be fairly easy. So if people are interested in that, I would encourage them to be taking a look at the ICDD website in the near future. But it's going to, like I said, it's called the Kansas Civic Life Project, and we're really excited about it because this kind of mapping doesn't exist anywhere at a statewide level. And so for us to be able to understand the efforts that have been building in various ways through the Kansas Leadership Center, through a lot of the work that we've done here at K-State through ICDD, extension statewide, other organizations that have been really committed to this in the Kansas City metro area and other places, this is a real opportunity to say how much of this is pervasive in communities, and frankly also how much of it isn't. And so we can find kind of dead spots, if you will, and try to foster and build some of that community and the capacity at that local level. So if we're looking at northwestern Kansas, for example, saying that there's maybe one or two people, how might we try to bolster that through our partnerships with Kansas State Research and Extension and others? So, long story short, it's an exciting project, and it's just on the front end of kind of launching. And the hope is that it can be a resource for Kansans going forward as they, understandably continue to wrestle with complex issues. And how do we do that more constructively? It's all back to the stuff we were talking at the beginning of how do we work across those differences that we have. And this is an attempt to do that at the community level rather than in the legislature.
Mm, that's good timing for a project like that, especially given all the things we're going on in our life right now.
It is. It's one of those things that it just, we've kind of recognized this for a while, but the timing doesn't seem more kind of appropriate, just given, I think, the increasing challenges that we're facing and with the kind of partisanship and polarization that just exacerbates this. We need to find other ways of doing politics, right, of kind of living our democratic life, and this is one of those attempts to both to understand it and also help to foster and build it.
Yeah. Well, we got just a few minutes here left. Dr. Shaver, I wanted to get your thoughts here. I had a relative of mine send me a video the other day, and she was kind of questioning it a little bit, I think, and wanted me to look at it and see if it was real or fake, and it was interesting. It was one of those... It's kind of like a deep fake. It was a heavily edited video of presidential candidate Joe Biden on The View recently. It was before all the social distancing was in place, but he was talking about some of his sexual abuse claims against him, and it was edited to exploit him having some sort of a mental gaffe or something. And this kind of technology exists out there, and I know it has a lot of influence on people, both sides, Republican, Democrat. How dangerous is that, especially given this being an election year?
Yeah, so deepfakes are increasingly becoming a serious issue. So deepfakes, for those who aren't familiar with it, are both kind of the merging of deep learning, kind of computer learning, with kind of the fake or the synthetic kind of creation of images or media, video, kind of someone's likeness, almost sometimes, as maybe your relative was wrestling with this question of, this looks pretty real, but there's something just slightly off about it. But to the kind of untrained eye, it can appear very authentically. And so deepfakes are those that really appear in these dramatic ways that can either alter what people are saying. It can change all sorts of things in that sense. There's also another phrase called cheap fakes, which we also see. Those are easier to create because they require less kind of technology and capacity. But they do the same kind of thing, right? That they create these perceptions and these images, whether it's in memes or the like, of people saying and doing things. And as we're in the midst of an election year, although it's been such a strange election year from even where it was a few months ago, we're only going to see more of this as the November election gets closer. And the ease of use and the access to technology to create such deep fakes and cheap fakes is significant. And so this is where having some awareness of the fact that these exist and that you should be kind of attending to it is a very real concern. One of the things that I would encourage listeners to think about is being kind of, I'll say vigilant here, but being mindful of the videos, the images that you come across, and if they're only immediately kind of reinforcing your view and you are inclined to then kind of share it for those reasons, I would encourage you to be a little bit more cautious and sensitive to it and kind of ask that question, right? If there are all the indications that it's coming to a reputable source, that might be an easier scenario in which you could yourself disseminate information and share things like that. But if there's something questionable, right, if there's something, as the image, the video that you're referring to, presents someone in a certain way, or clearly there's some alteration, I would be hesitant, and I would encourage you not to do that for a variety of reasons. One, because you're sharing either disinformation or misinformation, right? It has a strategic end, but it's not necessarily for the health of a kind of democratic discourse. And the second is that your recipient, you may know it's fake, but the person that you're sharing with or with your friends, if you're using it on social media, may not have that knowledge or awareness that even something like that is possible or that it exists. And so I think we're going to increasingly see it where we've We've seen it kind of developing in recent years to a very high level of sophistication and kind of capacity. And there's very little doubt that we're gonna see it kind of ratchet up here in the election cycle. So I would just encourage people to be aware of that it's the kind of a deceptive use of technology, and as much as it might reinforce your own kind of a confirmation bias, your own views, I would really encourage you to kind of step back from that, just because this is you know, AI technology that is really destructive, and especially when we are thinking of how we wrestle with competing values and differences in public life, this is one of the ways that we can actively play a role in stopping some of that dissemination of information that's not accurate.
Yeah, misinformation, just like the coronavirus, spreads massively, and it's hard to stop.
It does, but we can take, just kind of like the measures with coronavirus, that we can take some fairly simple steps to mitigate some of this. And knowledge is power. As the more you know, right? That was the old NBC little star logo that used to fly across the screen when I was a child. And when I think about that as it relates here, like, the more that we understand this, it becomes more essential for us to practice what we do have knowledge about. And this is one of those things that now you know, so be aware of it.
All right. We'll leave it there. Dr. Schaefer, thanks again for joining us here this morning. We'll talk to you again next month.
That's good to speak to you. Thanks a lot.
All right. Again, Dr. Schaefer joining us here on News Radio KMAN. Stay tuned. We'll hear from Pawnee Mental Health Executive Director Robin Cole after the break.